the essential podcast for educators in the UK. Made by teachers, for teachers.
Hello and welcome to the Homework Podcast. Today we are looking at Christmas, and is it really the most wonderful time of the year? Thank you to everyone that has listened to our previous podcasts. Obviously our school trips rampage through our personal lives and memorable moments from our careers was very warmly received. So thank you to everyone that has contacted us about that. And also for the messages that we've had coming in suggesting names for our moments of the week, our sort of highlights of the week. So gents, we might as well kick off there. Highlights of the week?
I'm in the midst of year 3 and 4 Christmas production, which is something I'll come on to in a little bit more detail later. In terms of my highlight of the week, I'll keep it a bit shorter than last week, but it has to be myself and 6 8-year-old children performing as part of a gospel choir who rip off their coats and break into a dance. Now, Sam's seen the finished product of this, and I must say I wasn't on stage.
I didn't get the treat of seeing you do it.
No, but in terms of rehearsal, I was very much part of that group. It was something slightly outside of my comfort zone. For me, it's a moment I won't forget in a hurry.
So just to clarify, what were you ripping off?
It was actually quite a nice tweed jacket, but it was meant to be a heavy parka coat.
Hogwarts gown.
It was sort of slow entrance to the stage for the gospel choir. Music speeds up, coat comes off, and there we go. We're in action.
What wonderful, Sam! If you can get a recording of that, that'd be great.
Next time it's happening, I'll try. But he definitely stayed towards the back in the sort of rehearsal we witnessed. I missed that treat.
So Sam, what about yourself? Highlight of the week?
I think for me, this week's been a very strange week. I think I've covered...
No trampled children this time.
No, children have ended up on the floor, which is good. I have covered across the school, I think, 5 different classes this week, just because we've had people progress meetings, there's been lots of rehearsals, and I've been down to year 3 and year 4. And now, in my career, I've only ever taught in year 5 and 6, so this has its pitfalls in some areas. Firstly, I don't fit on the chairs. My legs cannot get under the table. And also, for some reason, the interactive whiteboard projectors are a lot lower, so I also bash my head a few times. But I covered one class particularly in year 4, and it wasn't David's class, it was another class. But I was just left with some instructions, and it said there's a little bit of maths to do, and then when you finished, we'd really like to watch this video. I was like, yeah, that's fine, no worries, I'll do that with your class. Didn't know what the video was just left up with these instructions. Do the maths work, and then we move on to the PowerPoint, and then there's a link to this video. The video turns out to be one of our esteemed podcast hosts, David.
What?
Full elf regalia with his other year 4 colleagues, a brilliantly edited video of them dancing along to some Christmas tunes dressed as elves. It was one of the best moments of the week.
Can we
far.
Clarify this was photoshopped? It wasn't actually a video.
I have seen this pinging around Twitter. Some of our listeners. I was involved in one myself many moons ago when clearly I was more
elf yourself. It was brilliant, and the kids loved it. I had no idea it was about to happen, so it just put a smile on my face.
There are other Photoshop video providers.
Definitely.
It's a very competitive market.
And David clearly does love dancing before me. So.
Exactly. Well, this is, I'm afraid, I'm going to have to break with the theme today of David's dancing. My highlight of the week, so some of our listeners might have seen that recently a colleague of mine decided was expressing frustration at the speed that Christmas was coming on, and she said it's too soon to be putting up all these decorations, etc. She proceeded to leave the school for the afternoon. So a colleague and
just for the afternoon.
She was working. She was on a course.
Wow.
Just clarify that. The head did know that she wasn't in school. Anyway, a colleague and I decided to give her a nice treat. So we decorated her office.
I saw a picture.
There is a picture all around Twitter. So, the best bit of this, though, however, was that when we were decorating this class or this office, one of our teaching assistants, a lady that I work with, walked past, and she sort of obviously could see what we were doing, and there was loads of people buzzing around. So she came in, and my colleague who had set this whole thing up said, "Oh, could you just move that bit over there for me?" So as she went over to move it, he took a picture of her and proceeded to go around the school telling everyone that it was her idea. She had set it up, and she'd been completely framed. And we genuinely had the our colleague whose office it was, we genuinely had her convinced for a good hour.
Yeah,
it had
yeah.
nothing to do with us, and it was this poor, sweet, innocent teaching assistant who was mortified at the very idea. Say it.
Have the decorations remained?
Do you know what?
She's torn them down.
She's kept part of it.
Nice.
Part of it. I mean, yeah, there was stuff. I mean, we had tinsel just hanging vertically from the ceiling tiles. Oh. I thought it was great. It would have looked great with your elf video.
Oh yeah, fantastic.
So yeah, so those are our highlights of the week, and please do continue bringing to us, tweeting us, sending us messages with a better name than highlights of the week, because I don't feel it's doing such a momentous idea.
You want to say more creative, don't we?
Yeah, completely.
The word highlights is bringing flashbacks to my time as a late teenager, which
have you still got the hair for that?
I don't have too much left, so I think we can blame the peroxide for that one.
You get some photos of that as well.
Homework, the essential podcast for educators in the UK.
So moving nicely into our theme this week. So Christmas in schools, it's quite a funny period, I think. I mean, everybody talks about kind of the excitement and the doing different things and the buzz in the school. But I noticed certainly on Twitter this week, a lot of teachers are very drained, they're very tired.
Sure.
The kids are perhaps a bit sparkier than they would usually be. There's more wet plays, etc. Now, we all love Christmas, but how do we feel about it in school? How does it affect our learning? Is it a good thing, a bad thing that it affects the learning that we do other things? What do you think?
I think in schools we know there are particularly children who benefit from a structured routine, who benefit from knowing what they're... Sorry, Ben was just coughing up a hairball there. We know children benefit from having quite a set routine, often knowing what they're going to do, knowing what their timetable looks like. And I do think... as Christmas approaches in a school, it does often throw things into turmoil. I've spoken myself earlier about the fact that we're heavily focusing on the Christmas production. So there's been lots of rehearsals, lots of singing practice, lots of things that you wouldn't typically have in a school day. Yeah. Traditionally, my school has core learning in the morning. So we'd have English and maths in the morning, sometimes some reading in the morning, often after lunch. And it has been a different couple of weeks. We've had in the last couple of days dress rehearsals for our play, so the children have literally come straight into school and got straight away changed into their costumes, which again, that does disrupt or certainly alter morning routines, you know, when they're used to coming in and doing some calm work. Mm. This is a situation which has generally not had too many negative consequences, but it does prove trickier for some children, and it's something that, and some staff actually, it does stray from the typical school day, and it has in some respects got me missing my routine, because I'm quite
especially,
into that.
Especially I guess when now you're saying it, children that are perhaps on the autism spectrum or children in general that find it difficult to adjust to change. I mean, there's probably a lot of, certainly from what you're saying at the moment where you are, a lot of children coming in on Monday morning that aren't particularly clear on what their day's going to look like.
No, absolutely.
I think the routines we clearly build in our classrooms become so important to their children, and I think they rely heavily on knowing, okay, it's Monday, this is what we normally do. And I think when things change, it can certainly disrupt some of those children, if not all of them, to be honest. Their behaviours do change. They get cooped up inside. Then we don't necessarily have break and lunch because of the weather. And I think, and I'm sure they would probably agree, certainly less for me at the moment, we're not doing as much. But certainly for the year 3 and 4s at my school, they are constantly rehearsing. And it really is changing the
timetable. But is it one of those things, I mean, I look back on it, and for myself, I was always a born performer.
Yeah.
I mean,
naturally. You don't surprise me, Ben. The way you saunter into this podcast.
God-given talent.
Yeah.
But in all sincerity, for some of those kids, and certainly for myself, one of my proudest moments was being Joseph. I mean, it all went downhill from there. But I can see what you're saying, but for some of our kids, it's once a year.
Yeah.
And for some of them, it will be the highlight of their year.
I'm not for a moment suggesting that school productions shouldn't happen. I think it is wonderful, and I think... So yesterday we had our dress rehearsal to the school. Next week we've got the performances to parents. It was wonderful to see the culmination of a lot of hard work and a lot of practice. It's the process of practicing that some children do find difficult, and particularly the children that don't have major parts to play in those productions. I know myself, someone that as an adult finds sitting still extremely difficult, but as a child I would have had and did have a lot of difficulty sitting on benches for singing practice, for rehearsals, and maybe it's par for the course, maybe it's part of the learning curve as you sort of you know, if you're going to take part in these things. But I do empathise for those children, because it is different to the learning and the sort of active learning we try and put in place in the classroom.
Do you think, so for example, where I am at the moment, the infants, the infant section of the school, so I'm in a 3 primary, the infant section do performances.
Sure.
The upper school do different things throughout the year, but they don't do a Christmas performance in the same way. So for those children that perhaps their day is more broken up anyway, should I say, in terms of there's potential for afternoon plays as well. They're perhaps having phonics that might be streamed, so they're moving around the classrooms more. Certainly for year one and for year R, they're still very active, up out of their chairs a lot. Do we think that perhaps it's one of those things that's nice to do in the infant years, and then perhaps we could develop more away from it into the Key Stage 2?
I think you make a very good point. I think we, certainly in our school, we are only a junior school, and I think we in classrooms can be very sort of ingrained in, we're teaching a lesson, it's very much they're sat in their seats, they're learning. We've probably very much moved away from that sort of active learning, multi-sensory, moving around the room a lot.
And actually, you're not going to start talking about learning styles now.
No, not today. But I do think that our children probably aren't used to that. It's very abnormal. And then when it comes to Christmas, and you see some children who absolutely revel in it, they love their buzzing, moment to shine. And some of the children's faces in David's year fours and also the year threes that performed was phenomenal. And they just buzzing.
And if we don't give these children, if we don't give these children the opportunity, that some of them might not have families that will take them to drama school. No. Some of them might not have access to after school clubs that are for singing and dancing and acting.
Just like Ben's saying, it's so important to be able to develop those skills of being able to project your voice, being able to speak publicly, being able to overcome. Mm-hmm. Fears and anxieties in terms of being up in front of, not everyone's going to be on a stage at other times in their life, but there are going to be positions where you're put outside of your comfort zone. And I think giving children the opportunity to do that is really beneficial. I think perhaps looking at ways in which rehearsals are conducted, ways in which children are sitting in a sedentary way for long periods of time, I think those are the things that
could be
looked at.
Do all children need to be in all rehearsals? Yeah.
That sort of thing. And we've done it quite nicely this year, I think, in terms of breaking some of the scenes up into individual class scenes, so the rehearsals and practices can be done in a slightly different way, because I think that's where I certainly look back and as a child really found those periods difficult. And I think in previous years I have seen some of the children almost dreading the rehearsal process, whereas you don't want it to be like that, and you wouldn't accept that for any other learning, would you? You'd want them to have a really positive outlook on it, you'd want them to really embrace it, and you'd want to put things in place to allow them to have a positive look on it.
I think that moves nicely into kind of what do we think about bringing Christmas into the classroom. So in terms of it's funny actually, I was having a conversation with a colleague yesterday, and I think she said she was doing, not coordinates, it was something else, but I said oh, you can make everything Christmassy if you really want to. And I do think, it's like that Minecraft debate. Should we be bringing Minecraft into the classroom? Should we be using the children's interests as a vehicle to learning? Should we be, if we're doing symmetry in the next few weeks, should it be symmetrical Christmas baubles? Should it be symmetrical reindeer? Or do we, if we're crowbarring something in for the sake of doing it, does that actually detract the children's focus from the actual learning? I mean, does Christmas have a place in lessons?
I'll be very brief on this one, because I'm conscious I'm conscious I don't know anything too quickly there. This week we started an English unit based on the concept of elves. It's essentially a non-chronological report. The children are creating their own elf. They're profiling their elves. They're going to be interviewing other children in the class, creating some written dialogue for what they've recorded there. The enthusiasm was, without exception, fantastic. Mm-hmm. The work produced was really strong for like an initial start of unit piece of work. And I think the buzz and excitement on linking that to Christmas has been really positive. I do think with learning, there maybe is a scope for certain topics, and you mentioned symmetry, certain things to be pushed towards the Christmas period. Mm. Because it fits, because it's easy to do a little bit of that around Christmas. Maybe RE gets pushed towards Christmas sometimes. Mm-hmm. Maybe symmetry and shape. There's certain units which just get pushed that way. I know Sam, he'll go into a little bit more detail. I got a photo from Sam yesterday about some maths they'd been planning. I'll let him tell you about, but that links quite nicely.
Yeah, I think for us, Ben, you're completely right. If you're crowbarring in something for the sake of it, it will detract from the learning. But I think if you can sort of develop a piece of work, a piece of learning in a certain way that actually, firstly, the skill is the thing at the forefront, and then you've got a little bit of Christmas in the background. The children will love it.
Yep.
And we've, so Josh, my year five teaching colleague.
He gets a mention every podcast, this guy.
Great guy. We, pretty much year on year now, we've decided that at Christmas time, we're going to create some sort of problem solving that's going to have a Christmas theme. It's going to spread across a week, and it's going to be very, very, very immersive with all the skills we've developed over the entire school year so far. So for us in year five, we've done a heavy sort of workload on place value, fractions, and now this problem solving is all going to focus around that to sort of unpick clues to solve a mystery.
If you do want a copy of this from Sam, he is charging $4.99.
Yep, $4.99.
You can give yourself a
week. It's a fiver to you, Ben.
It's a fiver to me.
But
thanks very much.
I won't give too much away, but I think
the kids might be listening. We don't want them to.
It's that good. I can tell you about last year. So last year and the year before that, we had a big sort of Christmas jumper mystery. Head teacher at the time purchasing a Christmas jumper for the deputy as a Christmas present, and it went missing.
Had
to sort of solve the crime, annihilate any
it's like
sort
the
of
ultimate Miss Marple. Wasn't
yeah, well, absolutely. There were six suspects. We had to rule them out through different sort of
who did it?
Clues.
Could, I mean, without saying a name, was it a teacher? Was it a?
I could say that two people in this room were suspects.
Oh dear. Well, just for the record, listeners,
and one of them is wearing the jumper.
We had a chat before coming on air today whether we were going to wear Christmas jumpers for this episode. David and I said, well, we said no. So I've rocked up at David's house to record this podcast to find him looking dapper in a lovely American Eagle t-shirt.
Oh,
he's
yes.
normally in his PJs when we arrive.
Other brands are available.
And I'm wearing an unbranded white t-shirt. And Sam's sitting there lounging back in what can only be described as a knitted elven top.
Absolutely. So, I've missed this message, clearly. All they did separately is stitch me up.
We'll have to get a photo.
Yeah, we will try and find a photo. So, okay, so perhaps we can use it as there is a place for it. So what about broader? So we've got, say, Secret Santa in schools amongst staff. Now,
he's just reminded me I need to go.
Yeah, I need to buy my
ticket. Yeah, ditto. So we're all in it. I don't know, we've got like 40, 50. I'm sure my head teacher that will be listening will tell me I'm wrong. But 40, 50 members of staff at school? Is there...
You don't have to buy them all a present in Secret Santa, Ben.
Oh, blimey, that's all right then. No, but you know what I'm saying. It can be difficult to know people that perhaps you get in Secret Santa properly. So people feel obligated to. Do you go down the humorous gift? Do you go down the sensible gift that they'll actually use? What price you set on it? We're spending £8 this year. Oh. £8 is a very specific amount of money.
I think the person behind this has got a clear idea of what they want.
Someone's getting £8 worth of penny sweets from me. What
do
you guys spend on Secret Santa?
Ours is £5.
I think it's £5, yeah, I think so.
I'm pretty lucky. I've always pulled out someone that I believe I know, and I think I can get them a decent gift. I think you're right. The situation when you pull out someone you don't know can be awkward. I have also known staff to put names back and pull it out again.
It's not a secret, is it?
No,
not at all. My first year as Secret Santa at my current school, I drew the head teacher.
Controversial.
Yeah, and I found what I deemed to be the perfect gift. He didn't, and he won't know unless he listens to this, he didn't and hasn't known it was from me, but it was a book titled What Michael Gove Knows About Education. Really flashy
front
cover.
Was it very thin?
Open it up. Every single page completely blank, and I've seen him like sharing this with other head teachers.
He looks like absolute top drawer.
I was pleased with that. I don't often get banter right, but I enjoyed that.
And he hasn't re-gifted it either.
He
carries it around the teacher conference. It's an icebreaker.
It really is.
Okay, cool. So what about presents from the kids or presents from us to the kids? I mean, there was an article. I don't know if you saw it this week. One of my friends reveled in tagging me in it on Facebook. But a private school. Obviously not Hogwarts, don't
they? No.
I don't. Well, you perhaps have an impact on this, but where the private schools were telling private school, forgive me, was telling parents to not spend more than £50 on their teachers' presents.
I know. So my brother is a teacher. He teaches geography and like sports studies, essentially, in a private school. He at his previous employer, not the current school. I remember chatting to him about his Christmas gifts, and I was really, really surprised. he was getting like real serious vouchers, like very, you know, significant monetary value. Mm. And it obviously is a slightly different world. From my perspective, I don't expect gifts from children, and obviously it's very, very touching, but it seems so surprising when there's schools are in a position to be expecting £50 limits on gifts.
Crazy. But lots of the comments on the article, and I would agree with it actually, were it's relative. Like, if you are in a position when I was on my teacher practice, I had a set of twin boys, and they brought me, I think it was a 12. From the corner shop. Now, I was really touched. It actually turned out that they'd stolen it. And it was that kind of... that they were so desperate to give me a present.
Yeah.
They had done this. And it was that, like, from that level, all the way up to... people earn what people earn, like, but that's up to them. But if you're earning a significant amount of money and you are paying high fees to send your child to that school, £50 or £500 to one parent might be the same as £10 to another.
No. Yeah.
Now, does the school have an obligation to actually say, we feel that that's not acceptable? Do they? And I'm not sort of... I mean, I think that it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
Because if you tell parents... that you can't buy gifts, then some parents will be annoyed at that. And I think the kids love it. It's ingrained in our culture now. None of us expect it. None of us, every year I say to my children, you don't have to buy me a present. You don't need to feel obligated to buy me a present. But I would still say it's probably 80% of them that do.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And I think that when I was a kid, I loved giving my teacher something.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed it. I mean, there's that cliche kind of slightly corny kind of the beauty of a gift is the giving.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
But there is
It's true. Yeah. For me, it's like, and I guess not just at Christmas time, but for me, the most touching thing is when a child has, like, I know you get children like writing, you are the best teacher, in, you know, in a wet break or something, but if they're not wrong.
you are the world's best teacher.
I'm joking.
Did you not see my tweet this week, the card I got a Christmas card saying you're one of the best teachers. Well, good girl. Well done.
On a serious note, it is very touching that a child thinks of their teacher outside of school, you know, when they're at home, to think that they've, even on a piece of paper, just gone out of their way with all that's going on outside of the school day to actually think, I'm going to sit and make something, write something for my teacher. I think you don't want it to be a position where certain parents are buying teachers certain gifts and you wonder what they're trying, you know, like, it's not a show of who has the most money or who could buy the teacher the most gifts. And I think, I imagine there is a degree of discretion there at schools. If I was given, like, you know, a £500 gift voucher by a parent, it is something I would be very reluctant to accept. It's something I'd speak to the head teacher about. And I think it probably is a case-by-case basis there. Having gone, jokes aside, to a private school, there was a bit of a expectation, I think, of gifts, and I think there probably was a little bit of a comparison of what people are getting.
I mean, people were given hotel stays.
Crazy! It's absolutely mad, isn't it?
What about you, Sam? What do you think? I mean, where do you stand?
A lot of the things you both touched on can resonate with me. I think I'd say 80-90% of the children I've always had in my class have bought me a gift at Christmas, which I think is a lovely thing to do. I think, again, I would never be sort of expecting something, but it generally does happen, which is really nice. I think the gifts that clearly have had a little bit of thought behind them, when anything that's sort of personalised, I just find it such a touching moment. And they always want you to open it, and they want you to see
lovely,
the reaction that you have. And do you know what? They are by far the sort of best moments it comes to opening presents. I've had things that have been of monetary value far greater, but actually the things that mean the most to you are the ones that they've clearly put some time and thought into. I think whether it's a pound they've spent or whether it's £50, to me it doesn't matter. It's actually just a sign of appreciation. I've had presents that have been quite excessive, and I think, don't get me wrong, it's lovely and it's very very sort of
appreciative
of, from me to them, but equally, some children might not have any money in that family.
It's all relative, isn't it?
If they can get you anything,
they want to.
It's beautiful.
And do you know, I've got a couple of very quick examples there, actually. So, funnily, I was saying to a colleague yesterday, one of the best things or the most appreciated things I had actually was within the last few years, and I had a girl in my class who was sort of a Polish background, and at Christmas they had gone out and got me Polish beers, Polish meats, etc., and they'd wrapped it in
cellophane
in this lovely
Cabanos.
Basket. And they'd obviously thought about it. And the previous year, I had a young lad who was playing for Chelsea Football Club.
Yeah.
And this was when I was actually leaving school, so it wasn't quite Christmas, but it touches on it. And he had saved up his wages. I mean, he was that good that they were paying
him. Yeah, wow.
He had saved up his wages to buy me this England shirt.
Oh.
And it was like, he was
so
eight.
Cool, yeah. It's amazing.
And like, Mum actually made a point to come and see me afterwards and said, just so you know, like, genuinely, from, I mean, he was getting paid like 30 quid a week.
Yeah, so cool.
And it's the fact that he had said to him, I want to buy. And like, I think that those moments do make you feel closer to your kids. It's those moments that I don't think people outside of education understand. And if you see like people like, I don't know, like people like Chris Dyson, for his birthday and stuff, when kids are going out of their way, and I'm shouting out to him just because I saw the picture the other week. It does bring.
He's having some fun in the build up to Christmas, isn't he?
Every day.
Yeah.
It does bring you closer to those kids.
Yeah.
They do feel like there is that. You say about wanting, they want you to unwrap it. There is that. Have you unwrapped my present? Did you like my present? Did you get my card?
Absolutely.
My first year of teaching, I didn't open a single present from the children. I didn't know what impact that would have on them.
No, you say it sort of saved them till the end.
I just opened them at home. I didn't think they'd want me to, and they were a little bit downhearted. Since then, I've opened, and they are so
excited.
But
I find it, I know, and I agree with you, but part of the reason why I'm reluctant to is A, because I don't want one child to be disappointed that they got me one thing and someone else got me something else.
Yeah, it's comparison.
And B, I also feel, I don't know, but I think a lot of teachers do, a bit guilty about getting all of these gifts.
I find it quite
hard.
Just doing our job.
Yeah.
For my birthday last year, the school and my teaching assistant and the kids contacted Liverpool Football Club and got them to send me gifts and stuff.
That's
and
so
I
cool.
genuinely was like, I welled up. It was so not
touching.
They had gone to my member of staff and said, this is what we want to do. They had written
touch.
A letter and sent it off.
Mm. Either of you have any gifts that are gathering in the cupboards, without mentioning obviously any specific year groups or children that we should relate to, but are there any gifts that you sort of get year on year that do culminate in the shelves? I mean,
chocolate.
I
don't eat chocolate.
I don't really like chocolate.
My staff love it.
Links, do you get a lot of links? The links after
Links
Africa.
Links
Africa, I've had a few times.
Just a thank you to anyone that has got us chocolate store Links Africa, and Mum as well.
Is there anything like that?
I can always get a Links Africa off Mum. I don't know. It's difficult. I guess this touching, I guess, on our previous conversations, but I guess if you're a female member of staff, I think you're destined for candles,
sort of
flowers, smelly
creams.
Not
going to
use the term, but
it's
different. What about what about Christmas fairs? So where I am, we have a summer fair, which is massive, best summer fair I've ever seen. We have horses in, birds
amazing,
of prey.
Yeah.
Wow,
honestly, it's ace. Big shout out to our PTA. For Christmas, we have a Christmas bazaar where kids can come in and buy stuff, but we don't have so much like a fair in the same scales.
Okay.
Now, do you think there's a... when I was growing up, it was kind of a cultural kind of... You went and you played the kind of hooker bottle and... card games and... Like, it was sort of like you went and visited Santa in his grotto. Do you think, because... I don't know what your school does, but I've noticed there are less of them now. And I think that... Is it that there's so much else going on around the towns and it's like there's winter wonderlands everywhere and the onus has almost been taken away from the schools
and
pushed out to garden centres?
I understand that scheduling is a big thing to do with this. Mm. So we are a junior school. We have an infant school 100 metres from ours where there's a lot of siblings there. Last year, their Christmas fair was scheduled for, I believe, the first weekend in December, which is quite a traditional time to have a school fair. And I understand that our school, I think we were just after that. And I think in terms of like the attendance, in terms of the revenue generated, that had quite a big impact on ours. And
yeah,
I think
numbers
as
down,
just,
weren't they?
Really, they really were. So I think we, as a result of that, moved our Christmas fair a little bit further forward this year. And we did have a lot of the things that you mentioned. So we had a Santa's grotto, we had various Christmas decorations on sale, Christmas carols, you know, that sort of thing, the traditional Christmas foods like mulled wine, mince pies. I think there is a place for it. I think it's great, but I think, as you're saying, there's a lot going on. And I think with parents and having being spread thin with going to different places with different siblings, also having so many other commitments. So it's quite hard, and there is almost a bit of an expectation, I guess, to sort of attend your child's thing, and there shouldn't be, but I think the more things there are, the harder it is to properly hit these.
I think we're slightly different to your school, Ben. I think we do make a bigger deal of the Christmas fair as opposed to the summer one.
Mm-hmm.
Your summer one sounds fantastic.
Yeah, we might go to Ben's one, maybe.
I could ask my boss if we could have a stall.
That'd be so good.
We'll do a live podcast.
That'd be so good.
No, I think our Christmas is still a pretty traditional Christmas fair. I think we had the Santa Grotto, like David said. A number of the teaching staff were there to help out. We have a very sort of active... So our PTA is not called the PTA, it's a different term, but it's the same thing. Called the Friends of the School, but it's the same thing in a sense. And actually, I think the numbers this year were really, really high. So I think there's still interest. I think moving it back to the 20-something of November... felt very early to me.
Yeah.
But actually, if the sort of logistics.
It was a good excuse for me to get my tree up because I'd seen it as.
That's so, I mean, David never takes his down.
No. just provides extra light.
I mean, it's. Our Christmas bazaar works really, really well, and the kids love it, and they come home with lots of different stuff. Some of them openly say they buy their parents their presents at the bazaar.
Nice, yeah.
I would say that thinking about what you've just said, there are a lot of commitments for staff, extracurricular commitments.
That could be a whole podcast, couldn't it?
And I think that, absolutely, and I think that as much as we would all do it, I think if you were to say, oh, we've got another fair on Saturday, we'd like, when you think we've...
Yeah.
Like, not so much...
I genuinely couldn't make it to our Christmas fair because I had a commitment.
But for some of our staff, they've got kind of... we've got a carol concert, a drama performance, and they're absolutely happy to do it, and the parents hugely appreciate it. But I think if... I would say that is something that perhaps does enter the mind, is that actually in December, there's so much going on...
Sure,
yeah.
...that, I mean, our summer fair... is amazing, and I think that obviously works really well.
Do you think it's a sort of like a PR thing as well? There's almost an expectation that schools do a certain thing. You know, schools have a Christmas fair. Schools have a Christmas.
Yeah, so kind of culture is difficult.
You expect it, don't you? Yeah. And for a school to be like, no, we're not having a Christmas fair or something, they maybe is a bit of a worry about how that might look.
I think in the community as well. Like, so our school, we have sort of big flyers that go out. We have sort of quite large advertisements that are very noticeable in the town.
Yeah,
I think. If that was to dwindle away and our school didn't any longer do it...
Maybe wonder why you're not doing it.
What's going wrong,
for sure.
So, I guess, kind of perhaps our last topic today, the Christmas party.
Oh.
So, the work Christmas do. So, we've got ours next Friday.
Okay.
I'm not going to say where we're going, because I don't want our legions of fans...
Friday's a good night.
Oh, they're going to be there in their droves, Ben.
That's it.
There he is.
Like, in their homework podcast t-shirts. I think can be purchased. Do contact us. If you're so...
Alongside Sam's maths resources.
Yeah, if you're looking for a Secret Santa present, there's one for you. So we have ours next week. Now, I did work in a school where they had to rotate where they were having their Christmas party each year, because they can't... kind of perhaps weren't overly welcome the following year. I mean, there's all those god-awful Game of Thrones memes where teachers are coming, like drunk teachers are coming.
Oh my God.
So we're going out in our local town.
Yep.
The majority of our parents, absolutely grand, like the vast majority.
Yeah.
Is there the risk of going out for your end of Christmas do in your local town?
Do you go in the town itself?
We go into town. We will be somewhere in the town.
I know you'll go to town in general, but...
No, I rarely.
Ben rarely goes to town.
The school are going out in town.
Okay, we, in all my years at school right now, have never done the Christmas party in the town that we teach in. Not far away, but we...
Far away that it's a different police constabulary.
It's not the same, town. The Christmas party has always been to have been excellent, I think. Do you know what the best thing about it is? When you get people that day to day probably don't come into contact with each other that
absolutely,
much. The office staff, the kitchen staff, the caretaker, and when everyone's together in that moment, I think it's a lovely sense of community, and everyone really does band together and have a great laugh. But I think obviously we all work very hard, and I think it can be a sort of big momentous end of term event. This year it's on the final day of term.
Last year it was No, it was more dangerous last year.
Last year, I think it was the penultimate Wednesday night, and we were in on the Thursday, which was difficult.
I bet the progress and quality of teaching that day was exceptional.
I think it was a rather long assembly.
They all got a lot better at watching DVDs in the day.
Oh no! I mean, that's another topic. What about yourself, though?
Same school as Sam. What we have tended to go for, and certainly since I've been there, is sort of shared Christmas parties at fairly large venues with other corporates. So we went to one last year at. It's not going to do anything for my reputation. A local golf club.
David was a member.
I have played the course a few times.
Obviously, lovely to see you. Your usual.
Can stuff? I hang up your blazer? Which is quite fun because we went there. There was another local school there, which was ironic but quite fun.
Rivalry, no trouble.
It was really good. And as Sam's saying of these things, they often tend to shuffle table arrangements so you're with people you're not typically with. And there's sometimes that I can find these things a little bit forced. I think that's the same as, and
you've got your friends in the school,
yeah. And I think again we could do another podcast on this. Is like team building events. I think sometimes you can try and force relationships that can happen. Mm-hmm. However, it does serve a nice purpose when you're putting different personalities together. At first, there probably is a little bit of
awkwardness,
a little bit of like small talk, a little bit of forced conversation. But as the night develops,
you mean as people get more drunk?
Yeah, you said it. as the night develops, it is cool, and you do see people in a different light, and that certainly has changed my work life with other people. There's reception staff that I hadn't previously spoken to. I didn't know they had children. I didn't know much about them, and you just learn a bit more.
Those are
really good, and I think
opportunities.
Yeah, and just opportunities, Christmas parties, or other opportunities, maybe less formal, less arranged ones, just to see teachers out of school is really great. See other people out of school and just mix.
Yeah, we can't discuss this without me sharing a particular story. Admittedly, again, I'm going slightly off topic. It was an end of year do.
We need a separate podcast for Ben's end of year stories.
It's too far away. I'm taking over David's mantle for this week. Anyway, I'll be very quick. So we were at a famous Horsham chain restaurant. For those of you that know Horsham,
Golden Archers.
It wasn't. We don't have a Golden Archers or a Burger King. Anyway,
we're doing waitros there.
Well, for David. So we're at this restaurant waiting for people to arrive, and basically we were sat, there were lots and lots of individual tables that had kind of been pushed together. Now the waiting staff had left perhaps a foot wide gap between the middle, the two halves of the table, I assume, so people could get in and out to go to the toilet without having to shuffle the whole way round. Anyway, one of my colleagues decided that actually he didn't like people being so far away. So what he decided to do was, what he thought was, shuffle the other half of the table together. Okay. As he's done this, what he's actually done is proceeded to pull all of the tables apart because they were all screwed together on the brackets. So the whole tablecloth falls in numerous places, taking, I don't know, 30 plates, bowls, glasses, everything with him. There's about 8 of us sat around the table and we've just watched all this stuff fall, smash, and I mean glass, everywhere.
It took them
about 25 minutes to clear.
Was that the end of the night?
He's just stood there. No, it's the start. Half the people hadn't arrived. There's colleagues covered in powdered glass. There's other people eating in the restaurant.
Even his powdered glass.
Well, where it breaks so small that it's safe.
Shots,
come on,
yeah.
David.
I'm sorry,
you have servants to clear this stuff.
Limited vocabulary here.
I'll send you one of my vocabulary workshops. So yeah, and all these other diners like looking around, and we honestly thought, there's another one we're banned from.
Good
times.
They should
times.
Be fun. They're I'm sure there'll up. Be some post Christmas party stories, but probably not making it onto a separate podcast.
DM us for further details. Homework made for teachers by teachers. So thank you so much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed our sleigh ride through this seasonal winter wonderland.
No, and as always, we'd love to hear your stories, anything funny that may have happened in your school in the build up to Christmas, any ways that your school maybe celebrates Christmas differently. It'd be really cool to hear from you, and as always, great to hear any feedback on the podcast so we can keep evolving.
Absolutely, and for everyone out there, just make sure you enjoy your own Christmases. Have a good one, and we'll be spreading the festive sort of cheer down our end. But
cheers, Santa.
Cheers. For much more content exclusively for teachers by teachers, visit homeworkmagazine.co.uk. Also, please follow us on social media at homework_magazine and at homework_podcast. Homework Podcast is brought to you by Iguanas Producciones.